I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, it is Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, April the 11th, as we are yet again coming off another Phillies victory as the Phillies beat the Reds 6-1 last night, though. Not quite that much of a margin of victory throughout most of the night. We'll get into it, as it was a much closer game than the score would appear in the end. But the Phillies do take home the victory 6-1, and now they are back at 500, which is exciting to see this team winning 4 out of 5 after the 1-4 start, taking 2 of 3 from the Marlins so far. The first two with the Reds have a chance to sweep the series with the Reds tomorrow night. We will get into that as well coming up in a little bit. First, let's look back at what was a really tense, tight game, actually, and a quick game, move quickly. Obviously, not a lot of runs scored early on, so was able to move quickly. Look, first and foremost, I think the number one takeaway from this game, anyone who watched it, even if you look at the box score, Aaron Nola was just outstanding. 8 innings, 6 strikeouts, only 3 hits allowed, 3 walks, so an under 1 whip, only 1 earned run. And I actually thought he was getting squeezed a little bit at the by the umps early on, but able to weather it, and it didn't really matter in the end. He was just dominant. The movement on his pitches last night was just so much fun to watch. The ball was just diving this way and that, and he just looked just terrific against, granted, not a very good Reds lineup, but Nola, 103 pitches and just dominant over 8 innings, retired the last 10 batters he faced, really gave the club a lift in a game where the bats did not get going until later in the game, as the Phillies losing 1-0 to the 6. Not just losing 1-0 to the 6, and we'll get back to Nola again, who was just outstanding, but the Phillies were losing 1-0 into the 6 as Homer Bailey was twirling a no-hitter. Yes, a no-hitter. He was throwing it, and Homer Bailey is not that impressive, and yet throwing a no-hitter into one out in the bottom of the 6th inning as Cesar Hernandez drills one into right field for a single. Then Odubel Herrera later comes up and doubles into right field, scoring Cesar, and moved over to second on a stolen base. A 1-1 tie. Then Aaron Nola comes out in the 7th. And this is what was kind of lost, because we'll get to the how they got the last 4 runs in a little bit, and I think that's what people will remember for a particular reason. Scotty Kingery! But I think in this case, we might forget about the 7th inning, where the Phillies actually took the lead in the game. So it's 1-1 heading into the 7th. Aaron Nola up 1-2-3 in the bottom of the 7th, or in the top of the 7th, just dealing. And in the bottom of the 7th, Nick Williams leads off with a double. And there's an out, and then J.P. Crawford comes to the plate. Crawford, who has just been struggling some more, finds a way to line a single in the left center field, scoring Nick Williams, and the Phillies take a 2-1 lead. Pretty exciting stuff to watch there, especially for J.P. Crawford, just who is, obviously really struggled so far this season, getting the chance to get the big hit, and it might get forgotten about a little bit, because only an inning later, Odubel Herrera yet again with a scorching double. Carl Santana walks with one out, and then Hamilton Odubel Herrera, scorcher into right center field, and Billy Hamilton actually made a terrific play, really just an outstanding defensive play, coming across and diving to stop the ball from going to the wall, saved a run at least for the moment. As what would happen next is Reese Hoskins gets out, and a rough night for Reese. Nick Williams strides the plate, and what do the Reds decide to do with runners in second and third? They say, you know what, Nick, we're going to give you the respect. We're going to show you the respect of walking you right now. Intentional walking again. I do like the intentional walk rule. They just wave a hand and he's at first base. I have no problem with that. Speeds it up, all that. But who strides to the plate but the diminutive little guy himself, Scotty Kingery, comes to the plate. And look, for the first time in his major league career, he's been disrespected. They used to always make the joke that, you know, you don't want to disrespect Manny Ramirez by walking David Ortiz. Not the joke, the real comment, because it seemed like every time they would walk David Ortiz to get to Manny Ramirez, that dude would just make them pay, whoever them were. In this case, it was Scott Kingery's turn to make them pay. Bases loaded, up 2-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning, and Scotty sends one into the night, into the left field bleachers, just jacks one, and the Phillies get a 6-1 lead. Hobie Milner comes in and shuts the door from there. 1-2-3 ninth, looking terrific against two lefties and a righty in there, getting Adam Duvall out to end the game. But really, just a fun, gritty win again. This baseball team, I thought I was going to be coming and talking to you about them winning another one-run game, but they're able to find to add those insurance runs thanks to the bat of Scotty Kingery there in the eighth inning. But again, I want to go back to that seventh inning, and J.P. Crawford coming through in a big spot there, and I had written in my notes as I was watching the game, Crawford actually, in the third inning, lined out and hit the ball really sharply, really to a similar part of the field where he ended up getting hit later. And to see him come back in that big spot after he struggled so hard, struggled to put the ball in play with any sort of real exit velocity or you know, zip on the ball. And to see him come through in that big spot, bringing Nick Williams home to score that run with two outs there. Just a really big hit from J.P. Crawford. Very exciting to see it. And I'm happy for the kid again. We have to remember how young he is and how much upside he is and how much upside he has, and try to not get too hard on him, because it can be tough for someone his age adjusting to major league pitching, the hardest pitching you've faced that point in your career, obviously. So we'll see. It was nice to see. Couple other things just to get back to. Again, Aaron Nola, man. That dude is so good. I was trying to think as I was watching the game about where he kind of ranks right now in terms of the starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. And I'm not talking about guys you would take for the length of their career. You know, like, look, you wouldn't trade Sixto. A lot of teams wouldn't trade Sixto Sanchez for Aaron Nola. Maybe not. Aaron Nola is actually really good and young and proven in the majors. So probably maybe they would. But point being, there are a fair amount of, the youth and the future. And not that Aaron Nola is old, but they're, you know, this just basing it solely on who's in the league right now and who's out there, because it's too hard when you really get into length and longevity and contract and all that. But, you know, you'd put him after Kershaw, Scherzer, Kluber, Sale for sure. After Strasburg, Syndergaard, DeGrom, I would say. Carlos Carrasco would be ahead of him. But then it gets interesting. I think you'd put Justin Verlander over him. I think you'd put Luis Severino, minus getting rocked last night. I think at least close. Maybe Nola's there with Severino. Zach Greinke's in that range. Yu Darvish, Carlos Martinez, Chris Archer. I don't know if I'd take any of those guys over Aaron Nola. And look, I was the leader of the Aaron Nola is a 2-1 bandwagon. I'm jumping off. I'm on the Aaron Nola is a legit ace bandwagon. He's really, really good. And he has such control of his arsenal of pitches. And there's such movement on his pitches. And the velocity's there. And he's such a smart pitcher. And he just seems like a pitcher. He seems like a guy who knows how to go out there and go about his business. And it's been really impressive to watch. And I think Aaron Nola could be the best pitcher on a championship team. And that's something I never thought I'd say, and I really think that is true. And granted, look, I don't want to overrate a performance against the Reds, because the Reds are one of the worst hitting teams in baseball, and I think that will bear out over the course of the season. But having said that, all you have to do is watch Nolan. You could see the stuff, and the results have been there. And he's shown over long stretches of time, like he did last season, over that run of whatever it was, 10 starts with only two earned runs or less over six innings or more over that period. I mean, that's really impressive stuff, and one of the best in baseball over that stretch. So he has shown that high-end stuff, and I think he's headed in that direction. So exciting to see there. One other note, it's fun to watch Odubel Herrera when that dude's hot. Because he really locks in, and he is locked in right now as he is just scorching baseballs. Another two hit tonight, the only guy on the team with more than one hit this evening. And it's so fun to watch. I always get befuddled. I don't know if befuddled's the word, but I'm always just impressed or thrown off by the high leg kick guys and how they can do what they do. It just seems so much harder to time where you're, you know, the leg kick and where you're going to be and all that against the speed of those major league pitches. I'm always so enamored and impressed with it. Odubel just throwing his leg high in the air, and he has just been so good and such a positive piece of the lineup so far. So this lineup's really coming around. You know, we lamented a little bit early on as, you know, people wanted to go after Kapler and all that type of stuff, when it really was the offense just wasn't getting the job done for a few games there. They've certainly turned it around, and granted, this was a close game without a lot of runs early on, but the offense found a way to pad a few on, and they might not have needed it. I think, you know, look, Aaron Nola was able to get through eight with one run anyway. And, you know, look, Obi Milner was lights out in the ninth, but if it had been a save situation, you would think Neris should be able to handle it as well, or you hope he would, but either way, it was nice to see them tag on a few extras. This offense is legit. And look, this was a night where Rhys Hoskins goes 0-for-4 with three strikeouts. Rhys did not have a great night this evening, and the offense still found a way to put up the runs necessary, six runs, and to grind it out. Again, you know, tough at bats. That's what happens with this offense. It's a team that can get no hit through 5 1/3 innings and then grind out six runs over the rest of that game. That's the type of stuff you're going to see this season. You're going to see teams grind out on starting pitchers, make them work for things. Then they're going to get to the bullpen, and the bullpen's going to have to come in and work for things, and there's going to be no rest for these rotations for these bullpen guys. It's going to be tough to face the Phillies. Pitchers are going to come into Philadelphia and say, crap, we got to play the Phillies. And that's exactly what you want. Again, Rhys Hoskins was terrible tonight for the first time all season, and the rest of the team picked him up. And again, shout out to Scotty Kingery as well with his first major league grand slam. That kid is fun to watch play, and he's really acclimating quicker than I thought he would. I was talking to Jack Fritz on the High Hopes podcast a few days ago, and it really did look like he had some real rookie. You know, Scott Kingery looked like a rookie, and the more he plays, it seems the more less he is, as that grand slam certainly just smoked that ball in a big spot there with the bases jacked after getting disrespected the way he did. He said, nuh-uh, you're not disrespecting me, guys, and goes yard. So really, just shout out to Kingery. Shout out to the team as they have gotten back to 500 after a tumultuous start to the season, the 1-4 start, the manager getting booed at home in multiple situations when they're up 3-0, getting booed in the 20-1 game at times. Like, it's, you know, we've already covered that ground here, but for the team to go through that start at 1-4, they're, you know, it showed some character, some toughness for them to stick together and fighting, and it's early, and I expected them to turn around and get better. But we had people calling for Kapler's head a few games into the season, and we all know that was rash and ridiculous, but it's nice to see this team back at 500. Even if they're not beating very good opponents, they are doing what they need to do to win baseball games and to compete, and the offense is starting to get going a little bit. And once the summer really starts to get into full swing, I think this team's going to put up a bunch of runs. And as long as Nola can pitch like he did last night, as long as Arrieta can show us what he showed us after his first inning struggles, and then a combination of a Lively or a Pivetta or one of these guys can really give us something else, I think this team's got a real chance. The bullpen has done a really solid job so far outside, you know, of a couple early season struggles, and they don't have Pat Neshek or Tommy Hunter. And Matt Breeden in a piece yesterday did mention that Tommy Hunter Kapler expects him to be back soon. But, you know, look, the bullpen's been getting by without some pieces. The offense is starting to pick it up a little bit. Aaron Nola is rolling. This team could be really fun to watch this season, and it's exciting. And they're going to play September games that mean something. I truly believe that. And it's going to be great to watch and talk about. So, all right, coming up, a few more notes from the game, from watching the game, and looking ahead to the matchup tonight as they go for the series sweep of the Cincinnati Reds. We will be right back. It is James Seltzer. It's Phillies Today. Don't go anywhere. We are back. It is Phillies Today. I'm James Seltzer. Again, is the April the 11th show as we head into a Wednesday night game at 7:05 yet again as the Phillies take on the Reds to try and close out a series sweep, winning the last two. They've won four of the last five, taking two of three from the Marlins as well to get back to 500, sitting at 5-5 on the season. The chance tonight to move to 6-5 on the season and keep rolling as they head down to Tampa to face a Rays team that, despite a win yesterday, the win the last couple days, has struggled for the most part this season. So a good spot for the Phillies to continue to roll as back on the road for that. We talked a lot about the win yesterday. Two fun wins against the Reds so far. A good series. As the Reds are easy to dislike, Joey Votto makes it easy. I said yesterday it's kind of funny the stuff he does with foul balls, but he also does come off as a bit of a prick at times as well. So fun to root against him. Couple other quick notes from the game before we move on. Is it just me or does Homer Bailey look like an ugly Christian Bale? Right? I feel very, very good about this take. He looks like an ugly, haggard Christian Bale. Also, I gave some love to Ben Davis yesterday on the show for calling the game, and more to go, because I thought he did a really good job last night across the board. But he pointed out one thing, and it's what, you know, when you're watching or listening to a game on the radio, and obviously Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson or whoever's filling in, but you know, Scott and LA are the best, and obviously Kevin Franzen's been great, Stocker, Kevin Jordan, those guys will be doing games as well. But you want from those guys, those former players, you want them to take you inside and give you a feel of what it's like to actually play the game and tell you things you might not know from watching it, especially for us diehard fans who watch the game so intently and who know the stats and know the numbers and know the intricacies and know the behind the scenes stuff. It's rare that you watch a game and you hear something you really don't know. And I thought he had a really good point that I didn't even think about when Jorge Alfaro, maybe everyone's listening to this and saying, "You idiot, how could you not think about that?" But it's an example at least of the stuff that I love to hear from those type of color announcers. Talking about Alfaro, when Alfaro got hit by the pitch in the sixth inning, got hit by the pitch and it was on his left hand, and they're looking in the hand and talking about it, and Davis is like, "Oh yeah, tough. That's on his receiving end. You know, every pitch that's going to be pounding on him." And I never thought about that. I've seen catchers get hit on the hands, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, you know, tough spot for that. At least it's not his throwing hand," was my thought. And it's probably way tougher for a catcher than if it is his throwing hand. So if it's pounding on him, I hadn't thought about that. I thought that was interesting, and I'm sure I'm an idiot for not thinking about it, but I do like what Davis brings to the broadcast. I think he brings personal anecdotes and a nice flavor as well. So far, a fan of Davis in the booth. Couple other quick notes. The Eagles chants have gotten loud on the television screen. You can hear them straight through the TV. And I think it's awesome. And you hear it at every sport now, the Sixers games, Flyers games. And they won the Super Bowl. So I think that's cool. But also more so, it seems for the first time in my life, there's a real brotherly love between the four teams. I always felt like, and it was probably all in my head, but it always felt like there was some sort of animosity between the teams, and there didn't seem to be as much of a rah-rah, root for each other attitude. But now we're seeing it so much with Rhys Hoskins is always tweeting at Carson Wentz and Joel Embiid and back and forth and all this stuff, and they're all buddies, it seems like, and Eagles players are Sixers games, and Rhys Hoskins is at Sixers games, and this and that. And it's just really fun to see. And like yesterday, last night after the game, the Phillies tweet out a picture of Jason Kelce in his mummer's outfit, and the tweet says, Aaron Nola isn't an ace. And I was one of those people saying Aaron Nola wasn't an ace, probably, but he is. And I already said that, and I admitted it, but I think that was really funny and just an example of kind of the way these teams are really jiving with each other right now and taking advantage of each other in a way that, in a positive way, in the sense that there's a real excitement around Philadelphia sports right now that there hasn't been in a really long time. I mean, obviously the Eagles winning the Super Bowl is a type of excitement we haven't felt. But look, the Sixers and the Flyers are both in the playoffs. The Phillies are off to a 5-5 start with a compelling manager and a compelling team and the potential to really be exciting moving into the future. They have a young core of talented players and then all the money in the world to spend. This is going to be an exciting, exciting time to be a Phillies fan. And you package all that together and the genuine excitement, especially after the dark times that we've all been through here. Obviously, you know, if you listen to the show at all last year, we were talking about a 66-win Phillies team, and it was tough. It was tough every day to find exciting things to talk about once they were already eliminated or the season had gone the way it had gone. It was tough to figure out what could be fun or interesting, and you do a lot of research and games and whatever you can figure out to make it fun, but sometimes it's just tough, and it's not as much fun, and we've seen that with the Phillies, who haven't had the chance to play relevant games in a while in September, and the Sixers, obviously the whole epic tank, and now this team's a legitimate playoff contender, a legitimate contender to go to the finals, the 3 seed, and the Flyers in the hockey playoffs, the NHL playoffs, anything can happen. And then of course the Eagles win the Super Bowl. It's just it's a really exciting time, and if for me as a baseball guy, as a Phillies fan, as you know, baseball my first love, it's so exciting to have the Phillies be relevant and exciting again in this city. Now, you know, they're always relevant. The Phillies are awesome and they're a great organization. People will always care about them, especially the diehards like you and me. But I mean more in the sense of on the Major League Baseball scale, on a competitive level, in the sense that they're a team that can compete for a playoff spot for the first time in a while, and that's a legitimately exciting thing. So hopefully they will get back at it tonight, continuing to win baseball games, again winning 4 of 5 and winning some tough gutty type of games the last two here against the Reds, as you know, the one run game 2 nights ago, and then last night a one run game up until Scott Kingery parks a grand slam in the left field seats. You know, one run game up until then and a tough game. Phillies were losing by a run and kind of gutted it out. So tonight's a big one, and a really interesting pitching matchup tonight is Nick Pivetta coming off his best start of his career, potentially, and I think pretty likely. 5 2/3, no earned runs, no walks, 9 strikeouts, granted against a bad Marlins offense, but guess what? He's facing a bad Reds offense. Not as bad as the Marlins offense, to be fair, but it is not a good Reds offense, so it is another nice spot here for Pivetta to go out and continue to build on that confidence. Pivetta has the stuff. It's about confidence and consistency and throwing first pitch strikes and all that type of stuff. He is going up against another guy who's got legit stuff and was one of the guys who many people have expected to be a breakout star this year in Luis Castillo, who was just outstanding in about 100 innings of work last year for the Reds, but has struggled so far to start the season. But just wait till you watch this kid. He has dynamite stuff, velocity, movement, everything you can ask for from a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. So it's going to be an interesting one. I think on the face of it, Castillo is certainly, I think, a better pitcher than Pivetta, but Pivetta's pitched better so far this season, and again, coming off a really good outing, so we will see how it plays out, and either way, real chance here for the Phillies to continue to build on this, and it would be great to see them sweep this series at home, especially before heading back on the road down to Tampa Bay against a team that they should be able to take the series from as well. But either way, they've already won the series against the Red, which means they've won back-to-back series, which is nice to see. But you want to see them be able to sweep it, as it would be a real big deal to be able to stay above 500 heading on this road trip. Exciting stuff for the Phils and Philadelphia sports. Again, just an exciting time to be here, to be talking about it, to be watching it, and all that good stuff. So, again, we'll be back to talk about it tomorrow. Philly's off day tomorrow before heading to Tampa Bay for the weekend. But again, tonight, Nick Pavetta taking on Luis Castillo. And hopefully the Phillies can get it done and close this out with a series sweep. So we will be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Phillies Today on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.